Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Moise Retsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. Now, here's Pastor Mo.
Bisava Church, it is good to see each and every one of you, and what a great joy it is to be once again in the house of God. You know, the weather changes and all those things, and sometimes when the sky is gray, it feels like our souls are becoming gray. But remember, as always, that the sun shines above the clouds. And God's love is like those sunbeams. One of our favorite songs that we sing at home is, Jesus wants me to be a sunbeam. And indeed, that is what Jesus wants us to be, a sunbeam in a dark world. Usually when I come for Sabbath school, one thing that I enjoy doing is going around and looking at all the Sabbath school classes that I can look at. And sometimes one of the, I guess I could call them little people, because they are people, they sometimes give me good feedback. And today I got one of those good feedbacks. I was going through one of the class and this individual came to me and he says, Pastor Mo, the service sometimes is boring. I said, all right. And he says, I want action. And I said, what kind of action? And he says, oh, I want action. And I said, well, don't you think that action might scare some people? Oh, no, it must be action. And I thought about it, and I told this young fellow, I said, you know, when I was your age, I was thinking the same thing. And he looked at me so shocked. He said, really? I said, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I thought about it in all my life. I remember growing up in church, you know, I was a son of a preacher. And my dad would travel and he would preach the same sermons, 12 sermons per year. And they were the same sermons for the next 6 years or so. And I remember saying, man, I heard that one. I know what's coming. But over time, you know, as growing up, I saw myself in that young man. But sometimes it's good to get that kind of feedback. But the reason why I share that with you is because when we come to church, we come for Jesus Christ. Amen? And, you know, I understand sometimes I could be stoic, or whoever is up here can be stoic. But we come for Jesus. The blessing that we receive from church is really the blessing that we carried with us throughout the week. You know, if we come to church just for a performance, we're going to be disappointed, like I was when I was a kid. But if we've been spending time with Jesus, whoever the speaker might be or however the service might be, we will always come out with a blessing because we were in the house of the Lord. And I thank that young man, you know, talking to a preacher can be intimidating sometimes. I know how that's like. Talking to my dad was intimidating. But it takes courage to speak the truth. And I want to encourage all of you, speak the truth, but in love. I knew that young man loved me, so I took it well. And I hope I can have more action. But praise the Lord for that. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we talk about the gospel of peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we're here in church, Father, for you. And really, Father, the blessing we will get out of this is our receptiveness to the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts today. Today, Father, we want the Word of God and nothing else. And we pray that you will teach it to us, that we may become more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. If you're there, if you could say a good amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says these words. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of what, my friends? Of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." A young family growing up started life together. They were in love, but as life started to hit, finances started to become very hard. They started not to trust one another, and eventually it felt like peace had left the home. That couple needs peace. In other stories of a mother with a child, she did everything she could to raise her child right, brought him to church, sang all the right songs, dressed the right way, prayed the right way. But eventually, the son met some people that were not the best influence in his life. He started to deal in things that started to involve the law. The son eventually was caught, went to jail, and it seemed in that lady's life that peace was gone. Another story is of a couple growing old together. Everything worked well until one day, one of their children was killed. All that they invested, all the memories that they had, was invested in a lot of ways in the memories of raising this child. It was their dream to have a child, and they had worked really hard to have a child. And here was the child, but the child was killed. And what killed him is that he took his own life. The peace was gone. These stories are not uncommon today. As a matter of fact, in many of our experiences, we are familiar to some of these stories. The Bible today, and I feel so impressed that the devil is doing whatever he can, especially in our day and age, to rob us of our peace. Oh, you know it. We have invested so much. We have done so much. But the devil comes and he seeks to sift us as wheat and bury us in the tomb of worry, of despair, and of brokenness. Some of you here today, you're probably on the brink of a cliff. You're about to give up. You're tired. You've tried, and the devil has done whatever he could to break you. But praise the Lord, today we have the Word of God. Amen? And for these words found in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. These words are spoken and they are true. And the Bible says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And indeed today, the day seems very evil. "And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation again of what, my friends, the gospel of?" The gospel of peace. The word shodding there means put on, really, the gospel of peace. Peace is something we need so much today. But the Bible gives us one way how to find peace, and it is really the only way to find peace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, go there with me. Galatians chapter 5, not too far from our text. Go one book ahead, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says it this way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and what, my friends? And peace." Peace. Peace is an attribute of the Lord's very person and character. Peace is something that the Lord gives to us. It is not something that we can really manufacture. Some of you have been through a lot of crucibles. And I can tell you that when you're in a very intense crucible, it is hard to have peace. You might know all the truth about God. You might know what God has done for you. You might even have brothers and sisters in Christ encouraging you through your crucible. But I can tell you, it is hard to have peace. Jesus knew that, and he tells us the Holy Spirit can give us peace. Amen? Peace really is oneness with God. When the gospel means good news, the good news is the forgiveness of sins. It is salvation in Jesus Christ. It is the hope of eternal life. But the better news is that Jesus will be with you. We want to go to heaven not because of the streets of gold, the mansion built by the hands of God, a place where the sun is outdone by the brightness of God. We want to go to heaven because Jesus is there and he's walking with us. Peace comes when you have oneness with God. As a matter of fact, this oneness, this peace really means in the Bible wholeness. There's a hole that only Jesus can fill. Recently in the news, they have been talking about the Iraq War. That happened about 20 years ago. But can you imagine how much money was invested in the Iraq War? Anybody would like to guess? I cannot even tell you because it's too much. I can't even count to trillions of dollars. But in that war, there were lots of things that people were trying to do to bring peace to that region. Maybe if we take out this person, maybe if we do that. Trillions of dollars are spent for peace. But you know what? Peace is free when you have Jesus in your life. It is free, and you don't have to manufacture it. God is willing to give it freely. Ephesians repeatedly reminds us to stand firm, stand. And one of the easiest ways that the enemy succeeds in shaking us loose from standing firm is to tempt us with worry. Do you know what worry is? How many of us have experience in worry? You can be honest. Oh, I can tell you, even a child knows how to worry. It comes natural to worry. And the devil loves to make us to worry, and he fills us with so many worries. What's going to happen with my bills? You know, life today is getting very expensive. I'm not a professional shopper, but I do like shopping sometimes. But one day I looked at our grocery bills. Have you looked at those things lately? Wow. I almost got ready to start doing noodles. And rice and beans. And then you think about gas and the cost of living and your electrical bill recently, it's starting to get expensive. And you can get buried in all these things and start to worry. Or maybe another worry is you're starting to get really sick. Another worry might be you don't know what will happen to your children, to your mother, to your father. And the devil loves it when he buries you in worry. The Bible, I can imagine Jesus almost saying it with laughter or with joy or with a sense of humor. He said, "Can any of you add an hour to your life by worrying?" Those are the words of Scripture. You know, instead of worrying, the Bible and God has been teaching us to pray more, to lean harder upon Christ, because worry is blind, but God can see the future. When you and I worry, 90% of the things we worried about never happened, if you think about it. 10% of the things that happened, we did not think about it, and they happened. Worry is blind, but God can see. And when you have oneness with God, whatever comes your way, you know that God will see you through it. Oh, on that old rugged road of worry and of this world, there is a Savior who has walked the path and knows the way. And if we follow Him, we shall never be lost, because Jesus will be the anchor of our feet. When we carry anxiety and worry with us, we are robbed of peace. But the gospel of peace keeps our feet anchored in the love and the assurance of God. Can I share with you another story? There were two boys that went to the UP, the Upper Peninsula. It is beautiful up there. The air even feels different at times. And out there, they were out there going to visit their grandparents. And as they were visiting their grandparents, Grandpa had some really scary stories he loved to tell his kids about bears and predators in the dark coming. And Grandpa was a logger. And oh, man, when he told you his story, oh, man, it was scary. In the day, the boys were fine. But when night came upon them, oh, my, it was grayer and darker than what's outside today. And they were scared. One day, the boys, you know, they could play out there. And mother and father told them, "Hey, you could play on the creek, but make sure you come back at night, before night." The boys would say, "Yeah," they would play out there, and they would play and play. And one day, they were playing in the creek. You know how boys are. When you're having fun, why stop? So they're playing. And then all of a sudden, it was getting dark. The younger brother turned to the older brother and said, "I didn't know it was dark." And in some parts of those places, there are no night lights. And it got really dark. They started to get so scared that when they got scared, they froze and they did not know what to do, but the creek was not too far from the house. But they got scared. And all of a sudden, as they were scared, they heard a sound. And they remembered the story of Grandpa. Might it be a predator? Oh, you know how that is like when you start hearing noises and you don't know what it is. Is it a thief in the night? So scared. When all of a sudden they heard a voice, and it was the voice of the Father, watching them from the bridge and saying, "Don't worry, I am here. It is time to go home." Peace came upon those two boys because they heard the voice of their Father. The Bible today speaks through the pages of Scripture. Jesus speaks through Scripture, and when you hear His voice, you might be in a storm, but He says, "Peace, be still. I am watching you." The gospel of peace is what keeps our feet moving. Today, if you're one of those people, or I might be one of those people, that we need peace, Jesus can give you peace when you go to His Word. Cling unto the promises of God, such as, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am the Alpha and the Omega. If God is for us, who can be what, my friends? Against us. No tear shall you shed that God does not remember. God is there in the midst of the storm. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And young children, I want to speak to you. When you grow up and maybe you get wiser, and you might think that you might understand everything about the world, remember, it is Jesus. It is Jesus that guides the way. The world, the older you get, sometimes the more you realize you don't know much. It is wonderful to watch little children because they believe they've figured out the world, and I believed it the same way too. But the more you live, you realize that life is not as fair, isn't it? Things happen, you worked hard, and they don't turn out the way you intended them to turn out. But if you have Jesus in your life, everything will be okay. There's one of my favorite songs. It says, the anchor hold. Have you ever heard that song? Though the storm comes, the anchor holds. And indeed, Jesus' anchor holds. Don't let go of Jesus, because there's peace with Jesus. Lastly, the Bible tells us as well in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, stand firm, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And in verse 15, it says, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But we want to end with this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench how many of the fiery darts of the wicked one? All of the darts of the wicked one. The Bible tells us faith is the victory. Amen? Faith is a victory. It is interesting to note that in the Roman world, one of the most formidable weapons that were used against the Romans were fiery darts. Fiery darts. The barbarians were specialists in fiery darts. So when the Romans would get ready for war, they would bathe their shields in water, soak them in water. Often those shields were built out of strong leather, wrapped around there so that it will protect them. And they would soak that leather in water so that when the fiery darts would come their way, it would hopefully quench some of those fiery darts. You and I need to soak our shield today on a daily basis in the love of God. You see, faith is generated by love. It is as we learn how much God loves us and how true His truth is that our love for God grows and our faith grows. But the shield of faith was not only a defensive instrument, it was also an offensive instrument. We don't only need faith when things are coming our way, but we can use faith also to conquer mountains. When the devil sends things our way, we can use faith and say, well, God is going to help me through it. But we can also use faith to conquer those things that we know God wants us to conquer. For some, that mountain might be alcohol. For others, that mountain might be narcotics. For some, that mountain might be rage and anger. For some, that mountain might be jealousy. For some, the mountain might be greed. For some, the mountain might be pride. But my friends, faith can overcome those things. But faith that is based on the Word of God. You see, it is faith that changed a slave boy in Egypt that was sold by his brothers to become the governor of Egypt. It was faith that made a harlot woman named Rahab believe that a foreign army, who she did not know, was moved by God, and she believed in the moving of God, and she had faith in that God. This harlot eventually got an inheritance with the people of God. Faith moved a widow in Moab to the promised land. Faith moved this widow, and eventually this widow found a man by the name of Boaz. And today she's a descendant of Jesus Christ. Faith changed a group of ragtag men who were so preoccupied about their reputation and their position and their power and their influence into disciples willing to die for Jesus Christ. One even being wanting to be buried upside down for Jesus. What was the difference? It was faith. Faith gave us a cross. Faith gives us the assurance of the crown of eternal life. Faith indeed is the victory that the Bible speaks about. But what is faith? Faith is taking God at His word. It is believing that what God said He will do, even though I don't feel that way. You know, it is so wonderful, my friends, reading the Word of God. Because God always treated His disciples not how they were, but what they could be. When He was giving the Sermon on the Mount, there you could see this ragtag group of disciples there. And on the Sermon on the Mount, one of the first things He tells them is that you are the salt of the earth. Now, if you were looking at the disciples, would you have thought they were the salt of the earth? I could see Peter there. Man, Peter, sometimes he was doing things he didn't even think about. I could see the sons of Zebedee, John, calling fire from heaven. Ellen White tells us they had such a fiery temper. But Jesus tells them, you are the salt of the earth. Could you imagine all the disciples there and Jesus saying the salt of the earth? Maybe some of them even looked at themselves and said, I don't feel salty. But Jesus spoke to them as what they could be, not what they were. There's a very important principle for us there, that Jesus had faith in what they could become. So it is in the Word of God. God has faith in what you can become. Jesus, no words in Jesus have you ever heard when He was with the disciples. He never told them, man, you guys are losers. I try to teach you for 2 years and man, you're hopeless. He says, you are the salt of the earth, a city on a hill. I love the Word of God because in Jesus there is hope. In Jesus there is faith. And when we have faith in God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus will lead the way because He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If Jesus says you can make it to heaven, guess what? Amen. My name is in the book of life. If Jesus says your sins are forgiven, praise the Lord. It is washed in the blood of the Lamb. If Jesus says I can conquer that mountain of alcohol, of addiction, of anger, of jealousy, praise the Lord, I've already conquered in Jesus Christ. And if I fall, then Jesus is there to pick me up. And He says, in me, all things are possible. The devil, his main goal is to keep us looking at ourselves. And Jesus' main goal is to keep us looking at him. It was to Nicodemus, a man who felt he had everything in life. But Nicodemus was drawn to this Galilean. He was too ashamed to see him in the day, so he found him at night. And when he addressed him as rabbi, not as savior. It is to this man that Jesus said the words that are most well known in all of Christendom. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, so that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But do you know what that story, the context of that story? The context of that story was the children of Israel when the snakes were getting into the camp and the snakes were biting the people in the camp. But what was the cure to be healed when the snakes were coming into the camp? I can tell you one thing for sure. Pastor Mode cannot stand snakes. Man, there's some people who love snakes. But when I see that thing wiggle, my goodness, Lord, help us. I cannot imagine seeing a snake coming into my house, cuddling in bed, in my bed, and get ready to bite me. But as those snakes were getting into the camp, the Bible tells us, Moses lifted one of their kind, a serpent, put him on a pole, and he told them to do what? Look at that snake. I can tell you, if a snake was coming through my house, my eyes will be on that snake. Especially if he was trying to bite one of my children, my eyes will be on the snake. But Jesus said, look up. The devil today is putting all sorts of snakes into our homes. And those snakes, they look like they're ready to bite. But Jesus says, look up, for their salvation in Jesus Christ. If your faith feels less confident than you wish it did, ask the Lord to increase your faith. If you're shaky in your faith, ask God to help your faith. But keep looking up. Keep looking up. Today I'm full of stories. I tell you, this is my last story, and then I'll land my plane. I love prayer meeting, and in prayer meeting, I was sharing with some of the saints the story of the conversion of Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous preacher, but he always was not walking with the Lord, and one day he was so confused by all the theology he had studied. And as he was so confused, he was walking in the streets, and he was almost at the point of wanting to give up. When there was an old little church that was having a service, he decided to go into that little church and see what was going on in there, expecting to hear probably the preacher preach. But no, the preacher was not preaching that day. It was an old carpenter. Oh, he said, maybe I should leave. What will this carpenter teach a theologian like me? The old carpenter got there, and he was not the most exciting of men. And Spurgeon was ready to go. But then the carpenter locked his eyes on that theologian. And he locked his eyes on him and he told them, young man, are you looking to Jesus? He said, well, maybe he's speaking to the group. But he continued, young man, are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? Are you looking to Jesus? That was the conversion of Charles Spurgeon. Today, Kalamazoo Church, are you looking to Jesus? Or are you looking at the snakes? Are you looking unto Jesus? I want to make an appeal today from the Word of God. And the appeal is, friends, family, church members, let us keep our eyes on Jesus and His Word and never let Him go. If that's your desire, let us pray together as we commit ourselves to our Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we discovered in the Word of God that there is peace that is freely given in Jesus. But also, above all, we must take on the shield of faith in Jesus. Today, Father, the devil is putting all sorts of snakes into our lives. Some of us have been bitten by those snakes. And Lord, we are suffering. But there's a cure in Jesus Christ today. And instead of our attention being swallowed up by the things of the world, may they be consumed by the love of God, the hope of God, and the sure foundation of the Word of God. Keep our eyes upon You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Moise Ratsera, pastor of the Kalamazoo Filipino Company and Kalamazoo Seventh-day Adventist Churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit him every Saturday at 1601 Nichols Road in Kalamazoo, Michigan at 11 a.m. or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.